The following is the first Marine aircraft wing taped historical interview. The interviewee is Major Lewis E. O'Neill, 068636, USMC. Pilot and Assistant Operations Officer, attached to VMO-2, MAG-16, Marble Mountain Air Facility, Republic of Vietnam. The interviewer is Corporal Norman R. Carlson, 218-5474, USMC. This interview takes place at Marble Mountain Air Facility, Republic of Vietnam, on 26 February 1968. The subject of this interview is firefly missions, problems encountered, and lessons learned. The events described in this interview occurred during the period of January 1968 to present date. This interview is classified confidential until downgraded by higher authority.
This is Major Lewis E. O'Neill, VMO-2. Back in January 1968, our squadron began evaluation and flying the Firefly mission at night. Primarily, this mission is a night VR mission involving three UH-1 Echo aircraft. It's comprised of two Huey gunships, fully armed, and one dirty slick with a side-mounted guns, plus a light unit that is hooked on the left side of the aircraft. This unit is controlled by a crew member in the rear cabin. It's made up of, I believe it's 8 GV landing lights. It throws out a beam and is manually operated from the cockpit to go aft, forward, outboard, and inboard. Okay, the primary composure of this flight is three aircraft, with the Lightbird being the number one aircraft. The Lightbird flies at an altitude anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 feet. Okay, this altitude is determined by the visibility on the particular night of the mission and also the enemy composition and the terrain that you're flying. At 1,000 foot or below that, the aircraft becomes extremely vulnerable to small arms fire. Okay, 1,500 foot has proved to be a very workable altitude as far as lighting up the area. The light beam that is thrown out by this light during the mission from approximately 1,500 feet sets up a circular pattern on the ground of anywhere from 50 to 75, maybe 100 meters. Okay, the number two aircraft flies a more or less wing position on this light beam on the ground. He flies anywhere from 100, 200, up to 500 foot, depending on the terrain and the visibility during that particular night. We have found that it is normally required to fly fairly low to be able to observe any suspected target or target that the light will light up. This problem of staying with the beam is compounded the more the crew member has to move the light in order to spot any targets or suspected targets. The number two bird definitely flies with his lights out, and he is extremely vulnerable to any small arms fire if he is exposed by the light itself by flying into the beam, or it is an extremely bright night, or if some type of artificial illumination is set off without his being aware of it. The number three aircraft flies in an altitude just above the light bird, far enough aft so that it's all that is required in order to take a target under attack that may be flying at either the light bird or the low flying bird. He just merely has to push his nose over and begin firing. This altitude has been ranging from 1,200 to 1,500 foot, as I said before, far enough aft so they can immediately take any target under attack. It is recommended in a low density traffic area that he fly also with his lights out. And again, this will depend on the area flying over, the amount of other aircraft traffic in the area, and the nature of the hostile terrain. Okay, the hop that we have flown primarily has been VR or river traffic. We have found that the light can be used on water, providing that the light that night, either starlight or moonlight, or other means of artificial light, provide some sort of visibility for the pilot in following the river. On dark nights, it has been necessary for the low-flying bird or the high-flying bird to direct the light ship in following a river. The complexity of the river pattern also increases the problems of the light bird in following a pattern over the ground to coincide with the river. The hop has been more successful, as I said, on a bright night where the pilot in the cabin of the light bird can fly his own pattern over the ground without directions from either of the other aircraft. In the event that the pilot has difficulty in seeing the river, the man in the back cabin that is working the light has to keep adjusting it. This creates a problem for the number two aircraft, which is a low-flying bird, or keeping a position right with the light to observe targets. The other factor involved here is the glare that is created by the light into the cabin of the aircraft and into the cockpit where the pilots are. The normal operation of the light by the operator is manual. Normally, he cannot see the ground or the river unless it's an extremely bright night or there's some type of illumination. In the event he can see the river, it is quite easy for him to keep the light flowing down the river, and it can be VR'd quite effectively by the low-flying bird. The primary disadvantage in this light system is that once the target is spotted, or a suspected target sighted, they cannot maintain the light on the target. The system that's been tried is to set up a left-hand orbit with the operator holding the light right on the ground. This has proved unsuccessful, and it has taken up to 10 minutes to again locate an area or a spot where the original sighting had taken place. This is a very serious disadvantage and takes away most of the effectiveness of the Firefly mission. This is compounded because of the movement over the ground and the lack of adequate illumination by this lighting system does not give the low plane enough time to positively identify any target unless it is very obvious. In this way, the gunships cannot take the target under immediate attack and destroy any threat pending, as all they can do in any likelihood is report their findings to the nearest ground agencies. Or the other alternative is to call in additional means of illumination, either artillery flares or air flares from fixed-wing aircraft, and then possibly take the target under attack. Okay, some of the other limitations on the Firefly mission are the visibility, terrain, the location of friendly forces, and of course the amount of light at night has already been mentioned. Okay, the visibility. In haze and in inclement weather like drizzle or rain, it cuts down the illumination from the light ship. And on a clear night, it is just about adequate at that. So any adverse weather conditions seriously cut down on the effectiveness of the light beam. Okay, the terrain of the area, again, will cut down on the limitations, especially on the low-flying aircraft. In any mountainous terrains, it sets up a hazard to the pilot flying the low aircraft. It is a prerequisite that the pilot be previously briefed on the area they will be working so that he can make a thorough map study prior to going out on the hop, knowing the certain landmarks and so on, because complete disorientation becomes almost immediate working in a unknown area by flying low and various patterns over the ground. The friendly and enemy situation is also important as to the altitudes that can be flown by the aircraft. The friendly units in an area suffer the same threat that the enemy does by accidentally being lit by the light and exposing their positions. We have had this problem in the past in lighting up friendly positions to their concern. Also, it is recommended that this light bird be used in an area where a more or less free fire area is involved. Because of the disorientation due to the darkness, the aircraft are very rarely ever positive of their exact position on the map. In order to get clearance to fire on any suspected target or movement, the time delay and the improbability of the area remaining under illumination is very remote. So the most ideal environment to work this bird is in an area that immediate fire can be brought to bear on any target, sighted or suspected target, with no worry about friendly forces or friendly locations. Again, a thorough briefing prior to the launch of the firefly is most desirous, knowing where the friendly units are and so that they can be avoided as far as the light in exposing them and also in returning any fire or bringing fire to bear on suspected targets. Some of the lessons that we did learn during the performance of this mission are a few minor modifications to the aircraft that holds the lights. One was to paint the skid on the side of the aircraft either black or a dark green in order to cut down on the glare that is reflected back into the cabin from the lights. The other was a blackout curtain that was hung between the pilots and the aft cabin, again to cut down on the glare coming into the cockpit. Another was the pods on the Huey gunships, not only on this mission but on all missions, should be painted a dark green to blend in with the color of the aircraft, and especially important for the low flying aircraft at night. These white pods will stand out and prevent a very lucrative target from any enemy positions over the area covered. Another lesson learned that was only worked once and proved quite successful was the carrying of the Mark 24 flares in the light aircraft itself. The low-flying aircraft carried thermite grenades, and during the sweep, any suspected target that could not be taken under fire because of the short duration over it, the low-flying bird would immediately drop a thermite grenade over the suspected area, begin a climbing turn, and notify the light bird, who would immediately set up a right-hand orbit, taking the thermite grenade under observation, and then flying over this position at an altitude of approximately 2,500. This time he would drop out manually the Mark 24 flares illuminating the area. These flares last anywhere from, they do last 3 minutes, and by setting up his pattern to continuously come over the target area and drop flares, we can keep constant illumination over the area. At this time, the Huey gunships did take the target or suspected area where they received fire from under fire with plenty of illumination to prove effective. The disadvantages in this that were brought up were that the light ship, which is is taken under fire, the chances of these illumination flares being hit and destroying the whole aircraft are quite feasible. Recommendations to carry this were to storm in a armor-proof container and also have a quick means of egress from the aircraft. However, this system of providing your own additional illumination seems to be the only solution in effectively using the Firefly mission as any type of offensive weapon. Other lessons learned were, as mentioned before, the difficulty in following any type of river or any definite area that you're designated to cover on the night VR. Some sort of artificial illumination, no matter how small, is of some advantage. Any flares out quite a distance will provide enough illumination to follow rivers during the artificial illumination. This can be provided either by flare ships or by artillery or even mortar flares. It should be mentioned that the only feasible terrain that can be covered by this firefly mission are rivers or wide open areas, either sandy or extremely wide open rice paddies. Any other area you cannot adequately spot anything on the ground other than due to the numerous trees and shadows that are formed as the light passes over one area to the other. My overall opinion of the Firefly mission is that it is ineffective in that it cannot hold the light on any suspected or target that is sighted. Some recommendations towards alleviating this limitation in the Firefly mission is a designing some different type of mount so that it can be handled a lot easier by the crew member on some sort of swivel, so that it would be easier for the aircraft to set up in orbit over the target and for the crew to somehow hold the light on one spot on the ground. This would prove very effective in taking the target under attack, as the gun birds would not be eliminated and only the target would.